Amen. If there's any kids out there who want to come down to the front and give me a hand, that would be amazing. Don't all rush at once. It involves opening a present. Is that an incentive for anyone? Super. Or you can just sit down there for a minute. And I'll ask you to come up in a second. So, hands up, and this is for everyone, by the way. Hands up who likes presents. Okay, I think it's safe to say that most people like presents. I love getting presents, and you know what? Although this looks like I wrapped it in a rush this morning because I'd forgotten about it, I got this for Christmas this year. And I've been a very good boy because it says on it, do not open until Easter. Do not open until Easter. And what day is it today? Can anyone tell me? It's Easter Sunday. What a coincidence. Now, who likes opening presents as well as getting them? Okay, fantastic. Now, would two of you like to come and give me a hand opening this? Okay, you can come. And do you want to come up? Right, so open it up for me. Let's see what's inside. What do people think is inside? Anyone? Right, what's that? That's a box, isn't it? Let's see, open the box and see what's inside. There's nothing in it. That's a bit rubbish, isn't it? No present. Hold on, I think I know what's going on. Do you want to hold it up for us? You two hold it up. Alright. Now turn it round. Yeah, there we go. It's got something written on it, and it's in the shape of a cross. Now, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that's from the Bible. It's from Romans chapter 6. But why would I get this for Christmas if I'm not allowed to open it until Easter? Well, at Christmas, what do we remember? We remember that Jesus came into the world, don't we, as a baby. But at Easter, we remember why Jesus came into the world as a baby. He came in to die for each of us. And why did he die for us? Can anyone tell me? Okay. To forgive our sins. We can put this down now, by the way. But what is so bad about sin that means that we need to be forgiven for it? Now, does anyone know what these are? They're not grapes, actually. They are cherries. They're actually glazed or glacé cherries. And I hate these. I think these are the most disgusting things on the planet. And do you know why I hate these so much? Let me tell you. Whenever I was a little boy, probably about 3 or 4, my mum used to make cakes that had these in them. And we came back from doing the shopping one day, and we were packing it all away, and I saw these cherries, and I thought to myself, they're red, they're shiny, they look sugary, I want to eat those. But being quite cunning for a 3-year-old, I decided that I wouldn't eat them there and then. I would wait until a little bit later, until my mum was busy doing something else. So when she was doing the ironing later that day, I snuck back into the kitchen. I went into the cupboard. I picked out the cherries and I started to eat these cherries one by one. And I was, although I was quite a subtle 3-year-old, I was pretty noisy. My mum heard the noise, came rushing into the kitchen and saw what I was doing, and she pointed her finger at me like this and she went, Stephen, David, James, Myrrh, don't you ever take another bite of those cherries. And you know what I did? I looked at my mum and then I looked at the cherries. I looked at my mum again, looked at the cherries, got my hand, took a massive handful of these cherries and stuffed them all into my mouth. And I was punished for what I did, as you can imagine. But that's a little bit like sin, because what I did whenever I ate those cherries is I decided that I knew better than my mum did. I knew what I should do for myself better than what my mum did. And that's what we do when we sin. When we sin, we decide that we know better than what God has for us. And that's a really silly thing to do, actually, because God has created us. And because He has created us, He knows exactly what's best for us. And our verse said, didn't it, that the wages of sin, so the cost of sin, is death. And that's what happened. That's what came into the world because of sin. Death came in. And it meant it in a physical sense, but it also means it in a spiritual sense. Because what's happened is our relationship with God has been broken. And what's worse was that we couldn't repair it ourselves. And that's why Jesus came into the world. He came in to repair it. But the second half of our verse says this: but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But if we are going to believe that we can have resurrection at all, or have eternal life at all, we have to believe that Jesus rose up from the grave. Listen to the words of Paul. You can click on to the next slide. This will be written up here. It says, unless Christ is raised to life, your faith is useless and you're still living in your sins. And those people who died after putting their hope, their faith in Him, are completely lost. If our hope in Christ is good only for this life, we are worse off than anyone else. You see, the fact that Jesus rose up from the grave is absolutely at the center, at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. And if Jesus didn't rise up from the grave, then we've got no hope whatsoever of eternal life. So it's pretty important. Now, hands up who thinks I've got a bouncy ball in my bag? Anyone? Who thinks I've got a bouncy ball in my bag? Who thinks it's possible that I could have a bouncy ball in my bag? Okay, there we go. There we go. Everyone thinks that I've got a bouncy ball in my bag. And I do. There is my bouncy ball. Now, hands up who thinks I've got a puppy in my bag? I'm afraid, although at least one person in this room really wishes I did have a puppy in my bag. I'm sorry, Claire, but I don't have a puppy in my bag. Now, some things are really easy to believe, aren't they? But other things are a lot more difficult. It was easy to believe that I could have a bouncy ball in my bag, because a bouncy ball is not very big. My bag was big enough to hold it. It's the type of thing that you would keep in a bag. But to keep a puppy in a bag, it's not very likely, is it? And you would have seen the bag moving, and there probably would have been noise coming from it. And nobody even keeps a puppy in a bag anyway, do they? So, now, hands up anyone who's ever met someone who was raised from the grave, other than Jesus, by hands up. So no one has ever met anyone who's been raised from the grave. And a lot of people who don't know Jesus find it really hard to believe that that could happen, because it doesn't happen. They've never met anyone who's been raised from the grave. So it's really, really hard for some people to believe. And actually, they think that we Christians just believe it blindly. We believe it just because the Bible says so. And although that's a good enough reason to believe it, there is evidence within the Bible to say it. Now, my bouncy ball, back to my bouncy ball. My bouncy ball, it looks like a bouncy ball, doesn't it? And it's made of rubber, so it feels like a bouncy ball. But the only way that I can know it's a bouncy ball is if I bounce it. And, you know, you need the evidence to see that it is definitely a bouncy ball. And we need evidence to know that the resurrection happened. But the Bible does show us a few things, and I want to show you them now, that help us believe. Oh yeah, first of all, so we're not the only people, and people in this in this time of the world aren't the only people who didn't believe that the resurrection had happened. This is what Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples, said when Jesus was actually standing in the room with him. He said, "First, I must see the nail scars in his hands and touch them with my finger. I must put my hand where the spear went into his side. I won't believe unless I do this." So what is the evidence? And I'm going to be looking at John chapter 20, if anyone's got a Bible and they want to look at that. So John chapter 20 and verse 1. Oh, whoops, sorry about that. Verse 1 first. "On Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran to Simon Peter and to Jesus' favourite disciple and said, 'They have taken the Lord from the tomb. We don't know where they have put him.'" Then down to verse 11, "Mary Magdalene stood crying outside the tomb. She was still weeping when she stooped down and saw two angels inside. The angels asked Mary," verse 13, "Why are you crying?" She answered, "They have taken away my Lord's body. I don't know where they have put him." As soon as Mary said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know who he was. Jesus asked her, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She thought he was a gardener and said, "Sir, if you have taken the body away, please tell me so I can go and get him." Then Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni." This is the Aramaic word, which means teacher. So this is actually a really strange passage. Because if John, who wrote this gospel, was trying to make up the fact that Jesus had rose from the grave, he would never write what he's just written here. Because in that time, a man's testimony was much more valid than a woman's testimony in court. So if a man's testimony came up against a woman's testimony, the man would always be believed instead of the woman, which is really sad, isn't it? So if John wasn't telling the truth here, there's no way he would have a woman finding Jesus risen from the grave, but he does. So either John is really silly or he's telling the truth. Then the second thing that we see in this is that Mary doesn't immediately recognise Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Now, I don't know if you've ever lost anyone in your life, but when someone dies, the picture of what they look like is in your head. You remember what they look like, especially after only 3 days. It's strange that whenever Jesus would be raised from the dead, that Mary can't recognise him. So it would appear that Jesus actually is a bit different. He looks different. And then later on in verse 19 we read this: "The disciples were afraid of the Jewish leaders, and on the evening of that same Sunday morning they locked themselves in a room. Suddenly Jesus appeared to them in the middle of the group. He greeted them and showed them his hands and his side." So Jesus can do different things as well. He hasn't done this before. He just appears in the middle of a room, a locked room. And again, that's something that John wouldn't include if he was making this up, because it doesn't add any weight to his story. It doesn't make people believe that it's true. And then the third thing, if you want to flick on to the next slide, Sam, is the three leaders, well, three of the main leaders of the church. We've got Peter, James, and Paul. Now, these are really unlikely leaders, because if you read anything about Peter in the New Testament, you'll see that he messes things up all the time. He thinks before he speaks. And then he even denies that he knows Jesus. This is not a man that you would have lead the church. James, who is the brother of Jesus, didn't even believe him whenever he was alive. And Paul so disbelieved what Christians said that he killed them before he became a Christian. So these are not men that you would have lead a church, but something very significant happened to each one of these men because they met the risen Jesus, and this was a turning point in each of their lives. Peter met him and was reinstated. And when the Spirit came upon him, he spoke to thousands of people at Pentecost. James, we don't read much about what happened to James other than that he met Jesus and that he was one of the leaders of the early church. And then Paul, he was so transformed that instead of killing Christians, he made it his mission to spread Christianity to lots of different people. And so convinced were these three men that they had met the risen Jesus, that each one of them suffered for believing in Jesus, and actually each one of them died because they believed in Jesus. So this morning, we've got a choice to make about Jesus and the resurrection. Either the gospel writers and these three men were crazy, or the resurrection happened. Those are our only two options. There's no other options. Either Jesus rose from the grave, or these men were out of their minds. And I, for one, am convinced that Jesus rose from the grave. And I'm encouraged by this evidence that we see in the Bible that Jesus is risen from the grave. And I hope that you are too. I hope that your heart is warm this morning, that what you believe is true. And I've got a final challenge for each of us, and I'll do the kids first, because they're here. Now, hands up who likes chocolate. I thought so. I like chocolate too. Now, the first thing you've got to promise me before I give you these chocolate eggs is that you will not eat them until your mum and dad say it's okay. Can you promise me that? Is that okay? Yeah, good. But I've actually got two chocolate eggs for each of you. But what I want you to do with one of them, now they're special eggs. They're special eggs because they come with this little book, which is the real meaning of Easter, the true Easter story. And what I want to challenge you guys to do is to give a little booklet and an egg to one of your friends who maybe doesn't come to church, doesn't know about Jesus, doesn't know how much Jesus loves them. Do you think you can do that for me? Give it to one of your friends? Yeah? Great. And then the other one is for you and you can have it. Okay, so someone, do you want to give me a hand here? So there's the books and the... Just give him one of these, and you can take one of these as well. Okay, who didn't get one of these? Huh? And if there's any kids out there who didn't come down to the front, they can come and get one after, okay? I think that's everyone now. Okay, now the challenge for the adults. So we've heard a lot about the confidence that we can have that the resurrection happened. And what I want to challenge you with this morning is we've had a beautiful weekend, and hopefully we'll continue to have this beautiful weekend of weather. And no doubt when you go into work on Tuesday or whenever you go back to work, you'll be asked about what you did over the Easter weekend. And the easy thing for each of us to do is say, well, you know, I went to the lakes and had a lovely day out, or went climbing or whatever. But really what we remember at this time is the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the challenge is really to share that with someone, to say, well, actually what I did was I remembered about the greatest thing that has ever happened in the history of the universe. So that's a challenge to each of us. Should we just pray together and then we'll sing another song? Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you for such an incredible plan, Lord. We would never have dreamt of planning it that way. Lord, that you yourself would come as man, you would suffer, you would be rejected, you would die, but that you would be raised to life again. And thank you, Lord, that all of our faith, our whole faith, is based upon a historical moment. That we can look back and say, because Christ is risen from the grave, we can live free from sin. Because Christ is risen from the grave, we can live with a certain hope that we too, one day, will be raised to life, and that we will always be with the Lord. We pray that this would encourage our hearts this morning. We pray, Father, that it would give us boldness to speak of the truth of what we believe with our friends, our work colleagues, our families, Lord. Father, we pray that each of us would just go out of here rejoicing that he is risen. And we pray this, Lord, that your name would be glorified in and through us. We pray it in that name, in Jesus' name. Amen.